Dear Lord, we live in strange times. As we know from the last couple of weeks, how things can change so fast, how we can be so comfortable in our skin, just waking up every morning and going to sleep every night and just thinking everything is just going to be the same the next day. And then comes the coronavirus. So, Lord, we now are in a type of turmoil, so to speak. The world is kind of turned upside down. But, you know, Lord, you are God. You are on the throne. And we're thankful, Lord, that we could come together during the midst of the airwaves, so to speak. Very few people just scattered here, four or five people, so we can get this thing up and running, so the people of God can be fed. So we're so thankful for that. And let us be mindful of who you are, and let us be mindful of who we are. So Lord, as we preach this sermon, we pray, Lord, that it's a blessing to the ones who need to hear from you. We honor you today, Lord, for the opportunity that we can come together still, not the way we would want it, not with the fellowship of believers the way that we want it to be, but still in all, we can still honor you and give you praise. Oh, Lord, stay this plague so we can again worship as a community. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Obviously, we are going to be just off. When we do get back together as a congregation, we will get back to the epistle to the Hebrews, and we will navigate through that. But now I want to try to make some of the messaging or the messages that God has put on my heart to be somewhat relevant for today. So, and what's going on right in our midst. So what I want to do is I want to open up in the 46th Psalm, and this will be the only text that I'll be preaching out of today, which is unusual. Usually I have a New Testament control, but I think there's a lot in this Psalm. And, you know, it's funny, I was, my wife was listening to John MacArthur this morning, And when she told me this, it reminded me. MacArthur turned around and said to his congregation, but to no congregation, because there was nobody in the pews, he says, I'm usually, people say I'm a little long-winded. This is John MacArthur, not me. But they told MacArthur he was a little long-winded. He says, but now I can speak forever. People can go and make a salami sandwich. They can do this. So it's the same thing for me. I can speak forever. There's nobody here to leave. I mean, nobody here to stay. So I can just speak forever. And you know what? I can keep speaking. You can make supper. You can give the kids a bath. You can clean your house. And I'll still be speaking. Only kidding. But anyway, let's open up to the 46th Psalm. And let's read this with reverence. Let's read this knowing that the Word of God is living and active. And the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar and the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, is with us. The God of Jacob, our stronghold. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of Sabaoth is with us, the God of Jacob, our stronghold. You know, we as a nation, we think we know things, right? I mean, we look at our technology. Our technology's at an all-time high. The problem is we live in a world that's unpredictable. We live in a world that's ever-changing. So when we find something that we really don't understand or we can't fix it, it shows Larry, it shows Nikki, it shows Rachel our vulnerability, right, in our humanity. So when something happens, we all of a sudden we think we know so much, and then maybe we don't know that much at all. You know, so we think about those things, hence the case with the coronavirus. Here we see the world scrambling to get a handle on what has befuddled them. And the world's machine is kind of grasping at straws. But according to Romans 13, we are still called to submit to the governing authorities because they are put in place by God. Hence, they are God's instruments. So Romans 13 is our biblical mandate to submit to the governing authorities. God has put them in place. They're His instruments. Instruments that God uses to protect society from lawlessness. But we must understand, now this is important, we must understand that they look at things with a humanistic worldview, right? And oftentimes, Nikki, they look at things with a political worldview, right? From a political worldview, right? But we as God's people, Gene, you're distracting me. We as God's people must look at things theologically, right? So we have to look at things theologically. Now the world, again, the government looks at things humanistically. We must look at things theologically. Paul reminds us that our reliance should be governed by the Spirit. Paul reminds us that the natural man, Heather, does not accept the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to them. But we are ones that appraise all things spiritually, biblically. The coronavirus has turned the world upside down. Theologically, it shows us that humanistic power and riches and technology can only go so far. But we as Christians must understand that this world is truly governed by God, by the God of the universe, and nothing is happening outside His providential hand. So here's my question, and I said this, my question is, who is this a wake-up call for? So right away, and you know, the holy in the now Christians, and maybe I'm one of them, and God forgive me if I am. Right away, you know, you look at this and say, see, the world has got to get right with God. And that's the first inkling that a lot of us would say, maybe me first, hopefully not. But maybe this is just a wake-up call for Christians, or even better, so-called Christians, or people that think they are Christians. And that's more of a challenge, because right away we're looking at this and saying, you know, see, the world does have to get right with God. That's not my plight. My question is, are we being challenged by this? Are we being challenged? You know, who's the wake-up call for? It could very well be for complacent Christians, or maybe ones that might be going through the motions. Or maybe ones that just walked an aisle and said a prayer and think everything was okay. And then all of a sudden you wake up one morning and everything's not okay. You know, I look at over this church this morning. I mean, there's nobody in the pews. A couple of people that are working, you know, on the sound. And how, what are we, 2 weeks, a week away, removed from this? Who would think this? I mean, I can't even run around and talk to people like I usually do. There's nobody here. I'm really talking to myself, hopefully not. Well, I hope I'm not just talking to move the air around, Miss Ashley. Miss Ashley is there, and that's it. Of course, there's always a call for the unbeliever to repent, but sometimes we must investigate our backyards. Think about how God used natural disasters to get the attention of his people in the Old Testament. This psalm is a psalm that Martin Luther used to write the song, Mighty Fortress is Our God. And we must realize that he is our present help during this time of trouble. Now, the first three verses in this psalm talk about the upheavals in nature, the water, the mountains, and the earth being unpredictable. The waters roar and the mountains shake. We see that in verse 3. Now, there's something interesting about that. Now, I want you to see verse 3. It says, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake or shake. So you got a roaring and a shaking here, right? You see a roaring and a shaking? You have a roaring and a shaking here, right? So you see that. And then in verse 6, if you go down, the nations are also roaring and shaking. So this is important. I'm going to get back to that in a second. But in the midst, now get this, man, if you don't get anything, in the midst of this roaring and shaking, in the midst of this trouble, look what verse 4 says. Let me say this better. The first three verses suggest uncertainty from a worldly perspective. But look at verse 4. There will be flowing waters. The city that worships God, symbolized by Jerusalem, depicts flowing. The waters will flow with vitality and life because God is in the midst. Here it is. Listen, the world is tottering. It's shaking. It's unpredictable. Is it not? Right? And then what happens is, in verse 4 comes this interlude in the psalm that it says, halt. There's peace. If you're God's people, if you're a people of God, it's different for you than from the world. And this is the way, and poetry sometimes, especially Hebrew poetry, is kind of tough to understand. But I think, but here's the picture. Cindy, here's the picture. This is the picture of God's people in the presence of disaster. Where the world is teetering, the mountains are shaken, we have living waters provided by God. Do you see that? You see the difference here? Do you see what's going on here? I mean, here we are, and God grant the government their wisdom, but at the end of the day, though the everything's tottering, every news station you go on is speaking about disaster, and these things are real. But at the end of the day, verse 4 tells us that there's God is in the midst. God is in the midst, and that's what we need to recognize, that God is in the midst. That's so what's the difference? Here's the difference. Humanistic thinking, theological thinking. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. And here's another problem. We've spoken about cognitive contamination a million times. So just think I'm not saying not to watch the news because you know I watch it. But if you're watching that stuff all day, every day, not even reading your Bible, not even studying, not even being on the phone. And we've got technology. We can call our Christian brothers. We can call our Christian sisters, you know, whatever. We can get on the phone and speak about the Word of God. Because if you just get cognitively contaminated with that news all day, you'll think it's all over. And before you know it, the more you listen to the world and adhere to the world, the more you become like the world. And, you know, this is why we have to be careful of what's going on. And praise the Lord, God has got the governments in place. He's got them in place, and they're doing his bidding by God's grace. But at the end of the day, they're doing it from a humanistic perspective. And that's where we must look at things theologically. And that's the picture here. Now, again, please hear this. Our government is trying all they can to get things right. But our trust must not lie there, because if it gets fixed, it's only a temporal fix. It's only till the next disaster. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yes, we want them to fix it and get it right. We want to fill the pews up and preach the word of God. And yes, we do. But at the end of the day, it's only temporal. It's only temporal. Till the next disaster. Till the next new virus. And so we look at this thing. It's always either you look at in life, you're either going to look at things temporally or you're going to look at things theologically. And that's exactly what our psalm is telling us, because I love that interlude, is saying, okay, you know, though the waters roar, though the mountains quake, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, that the holy dwelling place of the Most High, that God is in the midst through his people despite the disasters of the world. Let me make a biblical reference, if I may. Remember the woman at the well? She was looking for a temporal fix. She was thirsty. But the Lord was offering her an eternal alternative, depicting that she would never thirst. If you take these living waters, you will never thirst again. But she was more concerned with, obviously, she was embarrassed. I mean, she had five husbands. She came to the well at a time nobody else would be there. So when Jesus says, listen, I want to give you these eternal waters that are bubbling and flowing, and she wasn't getting it, but that's what we need. We need an eternal perspective of what's going on in the world today, or else we'll be teetering and shaking and everything else that's happening in the world. And this is what the psalmist is trying to tell us, trying to govern us by. Let me think about this. Basically, remember Jesus told the woman at the well, the water that you want to run out, but the water that I give you will be flowing with vitality, not only temporal life, but eternal life. And here's the thing, Miss Ashley, we must have a God-given perspective, especially in these circumstances. People say, well, theology, you better have a theological perspective in the midst of all this. Because if you don't, you're sunk. If you don't, every news station is just going to cognitively contaminate your brain, like Peter Berger would say. You better have a theological perspective. You got to know your Word of God. The problem is, I believe, hopefully by God's grace, we can get together again and we'll be worshiping as a community again. But how do we know? How do we know? Who would ever believe this would happen? Who would ever believe this would happen? How would we know? Are we theologically sound? Do we understand our Word of God? Do we understand that the things that are happening in the world today are not obviously out of God's purview? But are we prepared for this? Are we having, now that we're home with our families, are we having Bible time together? Are we studying God's Word together? Are we praying together as a family? Are we praying for our church? Are we praying for our nation? Or we're watching the news all day? Or we're figuring out where our next roll of toilet paper is going to come? I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm not saying that. But what's your perspective? Is it a humanistic perspective or is it a theological perspective? And if you notice the psalm, this psalm is, they're music, it's poetry, but it's music. And here, you know, you get the kind of the first three verses, there's problems, but all of a sudden, if you're thinking theologically, God is in the midst of all this stuff that's going on. We don't think about that enough. I don't think about that enough. Nikki, the Bible depicts that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is at. We ourselves are guilty of looking for temporal fixes in our life, which will run out. They're going to run out. We need to contemplate what is going on around us. Let us look for what has eternal value, where the Bible says, where moth and dust cannot destroy, where God is in the midst, verse 5. So we will not shake as the hostile nations do. So what's this symbolic language show? It shows that the nations and the government's power is limited. Even though they are strong like mountains, they can tumble into the sea at any time. In fact, God speaks in verse 6, and he says, the earth melts. So we see that, and the Lord says, the earth melts. We look at that, and we just go to the next line, right? We figure, let's go to the next line. What does it say after that? We're not good readers. We have lost a healthy fear of God. But in situations like this, we must reverently acknowledge that only God really knows what's going on. That's the only... Listen, I don't care how many pundits you see on TV, how many doctors come. God is the only one that knows what's going on right now. And we want to listen to everybody else. But God is the only one that knows. That's why we have to be good readers of his word. That's why we have to be good readers of the word. This is, hey, Nikki, Gene, ain't nothing changed but the zip code. Really. This has been happening, and at the end of the day, God is the only one that knows what's going on. The word melted, verse 6, this is an interesting Hebrew word. It says here, the nations made an uproar, they roared, right? The kingdoms tottered, they shaked, right? There's that roaring and shaking. He raised his voice, and the Bible says, the earth what? Melted. What a word. It means the earth is perplexed. It's helpless. Think about the creation without God. It was without what? Form or void. Here, the word depicts is that the world is helpless without God. Right now, the world seems perplexed. There's so many different opinions on solutions to this coronavirus, but none of them are concrete. It seems as the nation is tottering. Again, this is looking at things from a what, Nikki? From a worldly perspective. From a worldly perspective. But look at now. Here we go. Here's poetry. You got to get this. So now, look at verse 7. Here comes the interlude again. The Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies, is with us. The Lord is our protector. He's our elevated place. He's our stronghold. Mighty fortress is our God. That's what I'm saying. You see the humanistic thinking. This is how the world is thinking about this. And then all of a sudden we get the chorus, or we get the interlude. Mighty fortress is our God. The Lord of Sabaoth is with us. The Lord of the armies is our protector. He's our elevated place. Basically, if God be for us, who can be against us? We navigate through this time. Let us reflect and understand how important it is to have God as our mighty fortress. Luther wrote the song. We should all know the song. Luther depicts, though this world with devils fill should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure because his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. With that being said, look at verse 8 and 9. God, now this is gigantic. God, by His grace, will bring universal peace. There is a calm amidst the storm. The word desolations means devastation. God will bring devastation, making wars to cease. Now, let me get this. You need to get this. The Hebrew word is so descriptive. The Hebrew word is so descriptive. It means horror. When God defeats the enemies of His people, there will be horror for them. But rejoicing for us. But rejoicing for us. He destroys their weapons, verse 9. And you know something? I think about that. He destroys their weapons. And obviously He's speaking war language, because the Bible says that He is the Lord of Sabaoth. He is the God of the armies. So He's using war language here. But remember, we have to be good readers of the text. And if we don't understand so this is physical war, because that's the language they're used to. The Jews were in a lot of wars with other nations, right? And we need to think about that for sure. But today, we don't fight against flesh and blood. Knowing the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but the bringing down of strongholds. Garland depicts that we don't depend on human resources. We depend on God's power. Though, Miss Ashley, we may walk weakly, but by God's grace we fight strongly. We fight strongly because we got the gospel. We got the gospel of truth. And no matter what's going on today, no one can take the truth from us. No one. That's why when we deal with truth, we have to deal with absolute truth. We can't deal with relevant truth. We've been speaking about that even in our sermon series. No one can take absolute truth from you. No one can take absolute truth from me. And not only that, people are going to be judged by not relative truth, by what's good for you, Cindy or Bob or Larry. And, you know, obviously people are not in the church, but I'm trying to involve people. Even though they're not in the church, I'm looking here. Sonny would sit there and Donna would sit there. Taylor would be somewhere back there. I know where Gene's all the time, where he's at. Miss Ashley is in the same spot. But I'm speaking to empty chairs, but I hope I'm really not speaking to empty chairs. That's why I'm putting names on the chairs. Before Miss Mary went to be with the Lord, Miss Mary would sit right here. You know, and then here I am just speaking to empty pews. But by God's grace, because of this technology, Miss Ashley, I'm really not speaking to empty pews. But the only problem is when they're home, and they're listening to me, they're going to say, oh, man, I don't want to hear that. I'm going to go get something to eat. They can't do that in here. Well, they could, but Larry's usually at the back of the door making sure nobody gets out until the sermon's over, right? So this is, and we think about this, so we don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We have the gospel. Now, let me tell you one of the most misinterpreted verses in the Bible. Now, I don't know what your translation says. If you're using Paul's translation, if you're using the NSAB, verse 10 says this: cease striving and know that I am God. Now, you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, okay, let me get this right. You'll hear people say, be still and know that I am God. And be still, they're saying, well, we want to be still so we can hear from God, right? I mean, I got very few people here. I just got the production team, and nobody wants to answer. Nobody wants to say nothing because nobody wants it. So people have say all the time, and you know, God bless them. We're not looking to be, but notice the context. The context. I want you guys to be good readers of the text, right? Be still and know that I am God. Cease striving. Who is he speaking to? The nations. He's speaking to the nations that are coming against the mandates of God. And he's saying, you nations, you world, even us today, you need to be still and know that I am God. It's not a personal reflection of you being still. It's the nations and the worldviews that are coming against God. He's actually telling the nation, cease striving, be still. You better recognize who's really in control. And a lot of times we look at that because we make it subjective. You know, be still, and now we'll hear from God. Yes, we want to hear from God. In fact, I'm going to say, thus saith the Lord. You want to hear from God? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. But here, this is an interesting play. Cease striving and know that I am God. Because then it says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So see the context? The Lord is telling the nations or the worldviews and all these humanistic worldviews, he's saying, listen, you guys need to cease striving because I am the one you should be listening to. I am the one. Jesus Christ, the solid rock we stand, all else is what? Sinking sand. So again, he's telling the nations, make peace, surrender. You need to recognize that I am God. This is a message for the ages and a message to our nation today. As our government is trying to figure all this out, they need to recognize God. This is a wake-up call. But it's also a wake-up call for us. Because I don't think that we recognize the sovereignty of God enough today. Me first. Because we're so complacent. And then all of a sudden, Gene, we wake up and our freedoms are not what they used to be. I mean, here you see the government, rightly so, and saying, hey, you know, you guys got to be careful if you gather in more than 10 people because you can spread this disease. You know, I think in Italy, what was it yesterday? Over 700 deaths. Right, Gene? 700 deaths. You know, and it's frightening. You know, and the thing is, if we're looking at things from a humanistic worldview, we got serious issues. And thank God, God has put the government into places. But remember, you can't blame people for them not knowing. They don't understand. They're looking at things from a humanistic worldview. They're giving you the best they know. But at the end of the day, if you're a Christian, you know better than them. And we don't want to sell ourselves short. We need a theological perspective. And that's our problem. That's our problem. And listen, nobody wants them, you know, I want them to figure it out. But they're only going to figure it out if God allows them to figure it out. And, you know, right now we got 4 or 5 people in here, the production crew, trying to get a sermon out to the people. And you know what? We need to bless these people. You know, Gene back there working on that, and he probably going to hate me mention his name, and Ashley and Nikki trying to get this. I mean, we're trying to get this thing out. But, Gene, we never know when they'll shut that down. And we got to, you know, be thankful for this. I know people want to come to church. I mean, I'm preaching to like chairs. I got to put names on these chairs so at least I can call them like names or something. Chair B, you better repent and believe the gospel. Yeah. Say it, Gene. You can go on the mic. Gene said, Chair C, you're going to hell. God is telling, Ashley, you'll get right on the tape. He's telling the nations to make peace, surrender. You need to recognize that I am God. As our government, as I said, is trying to figure this all out, they need to recognize God. You know something? We watch the news programs. We do. I mean, you can't put, there's nothing else on now. They never mention God. Just maybe lip service. I mean, never, ever. They'll never even nothing. They won't. God is like nothing. Zero. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, imagine if you put on, whether it's Fox or whatever the station is, and they say, before we start, let's open up in a word of prayer. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. And all they're giving you is humanistic perspective. Nikki, you got to say something? That would be nice. It would be nice. It would give us some hope. And what this psalm is doing is giving us hope. Despite what's going on in this world, we have hope. We have hope because we have a mighty fortress who is our God. And probably Miss Ashley's looking for a title, and maybe Mighty Fortress might be one, but we don't know. That'll be up to her. Ain't nothing changed but the zip code. Now, notice there's no mention of God as we watch our news programs. Science and more science. But what this verse proves, verse 10, is that God is in control of human history. Therefore, this pandemic is a wake-up call to who? That's the question. We know it's a wake-up call to the nations, and we like that. You need to repent. Or Gene just says, repent or, you know, you'll go to hell. But what about for us? What about for us? What are we doing? Listen, I did prison time. Chairs, I did prison time. I'm speaking to the chairs, right? I did prison time. And that time, God saved me to contemplate on my life. When I had 5 years left, I contemplated on my life. I'm going to tell you something. You need to redeem the time for the days of evil. This time that you guys have together, that your guy kind of shut up in your houses, in your apartments, you need to redeem the time. Because you know what? You know it. If God allows, not if they figure it out, the humanistic government, or we pray for them, we're called to pray for them, we're called to obey them because they are the arm of the Lord, right? But once God figures this out, if he allows us to figure it out, it's going to be right back, hustle and bustle. And right now, if people are allowed to come to church, these churches will probably be full because people are scared. Once you can buy toilet paper again, I don't know why people are buying toilet paper. It has nothing to do with this thing. But once you buy toilet paper, once you can go buy toilet paper again, you get anything you need again, then the church will go back to normal. You remember 9/11? Right in the beginning of 9/11, Gene, those churches were filled. But as soon as the world became at ease again, everybody left the church. Everybody left the church. Again, Jesus Christ, the solid rock we stand, all else is sinking sand. There's a wake-up call. Stop striving and know that he is God. And again, God may allow them to figure this out, but here lies the problem. Here's the problem. I mean, we're closing in this. Here lies the problem. Here lies the problem. And I think we answered it already. When and if this gets figured out, and if it only gets figured out if God allows it, will they give glory to God or will they give glory to themselves? That's the question. I think we know the answer, huh, Nikki? I'm telling you, their people will get up if they come up with a vaccine or something or some, I don't know, they're talking about whatever. All of a sudden, they're going to get up and they're going to sit there and all the king's horses and all the king's men, they're going to say, look what we did. Well, they are far away from that right now if you're listening to any of this stuff. But God is, how many of us, very scant people in this room here, how many of us have been on our knees praying for the nation? Praying for them that God would intervene and give them the wisdom to figure this out. That we love to be around our congregation. I mean, we take such things for granted. look, I mean, what'd you do, Pastor, today? I preached to some pews. But I tell you what, listen, we know people are hearing. I'm joking around, but I'm saying, at least the pews can't answer me back, right? Right, Miss Ashley, I can tell the pews anything. They're going to just, you know, they're not going to answer me back, right? Like Gene will, but they won't. Will they give glory to God, or will they give it to themselves? No matter what, look what verse 10 says. I'm going to be exalted anyway. It don't matter what the world does. It don't matter who's, he's going to be exalted anyway. He's God. See, we're the one that has to exalt him. He's not begging for us to. We have to worship him because, as the old songwriter says, he's got the whole what, Miss Ashley? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's not begging us to worship him. We have to worship him. We have to realize that we are just temporally minded at best, and that's not good. We need to be theologically minded, especially if we're truly Christians. Especially if we're truly Christians. That's why I want this psalm to challenge us. Here's the question. Where does our trust lie? What we need to realize is God is with us during this disaster. The Lord of hosts, Nikki says, he will never leave or forsake us. What I want to do is give all of us a biblical perspective and a challenge, and the challenge is, are we living considering that perspective? That's challenging to me. You know, I said it when I got saved in prison. That last 5 years before I got out, I was able to spend time with the Lord. I think God started to equip me in there, reading my word, reading good commentaries, meeting people, some chaplains in there that really brought me along. By God's grace, I went to school. But that time alone with the Lord really helped shape me. But forget about me. That's not the point. The point is that how are you redeeming this time? A lot of people are out of work. Are we having, family devotions? Are we looking at things theologically? Now, that don't mean we can't look at the TV, right, Miss Ashley? We look at the TV, but we always, our governing worldview is theological. And we look at them things and we pray for them because we know God has put them into place. But they're not theologians. They're not theologians. And that's what this psalm does for us. It shows us the two worldviews, the humanistic worldview and the theological worldview. As we contemplate this text and what we have just read, we thank God we are not depending on the humanistic machine of government, though we respect them. We know their power is limited. The second psalm depicts that the nations must worship the Lord with reverence. They are depicted to show discernment and tremble and show reverence to the Christ, lest God be angry. Let us pray and entreat for our nation. The Bible depicts where is the intercessor? At the end of the day, the end of the second psalm depicts, soon his wrath will be kindled, but blessed are those who take refuge in him. For Jesus Christ, the solid rock we stand, all else is sinking sand. Let us stand. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to bring the message to the airwaves. I am so blessed to have such dedicated people here, but they're not dedicated to me, they're dedicated to the Lord. I mean, here they are in the midst of a pandemic. That's what it is. They've come out to try to get a sermon out over the air so people can be encouraged, So the people here at Desert Sky Baptist Church to know that though we may not be fellowshipping together, we are fellowshipping together. And I thank you for all the players here this afternoon who took the time out to come and to do this for their congregation whom they love, but more than that, to the God whom they love and the God who they serve. Oh, Lord, bless them. Bless them in a way, Lord, that they come here today to just want to give you glory and honor. We pray and entreat for Desert Sky Baptist Church, Lord. We pray and entreat that you stay the plague. But Lord, if you decide that's not your will, please keep areas of communication open so we at Desert Sky can continue to worship and praise together, even if it's through the airwaves for now, in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.